Hello, everybody. Today in the Charlie Kirk Show, we unpack a story that we haven't mentioned, and we haven't mentioned it intentionally. And that is the story of Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. We are watching Me Too unravel in front of our very eyes. We also talk a little bit about inflation. And this episode kind of ends rather abruptly, just because we're at our Turning Point USA Young Women's Leadership Summit. And I will complete the argument at a different time, I promise you. So email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. So type in Charlie Kirk Show and make sure you're subscribed and get your friends to do the same. Get involved with Turning Point USA as we are here in Dallas, Texas at our Young Women's Leadership Summit, tpusa.com/YWLS, and come to our Student Action Summit in late July in Tampa, tpusa.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We are here in Dallas, Texas for our Young Women's Leadership Summit. We're going to have over 2,500 young conservative women from across America just in a couple hours at our Young Women's Leadership Summit. And so we're going to start off today with a story that, you know, typically we wouldn't be covering stories like this. This is more of kind of a, some people would call it a celebrity-focused story. And it's something that, quite honestly, I had no interest in talking about whatsoever. But it seems as if there's actually some broader cultural implications that are going on here that I think we need to talk about and that we need to zero in on. And so the trial of Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard. I never heard of Amber Heard before. People said she's a big deal. I guess she was the one with the red hair in Aquaman. And she's a terrible actress, by the way. I found her very not compelling and kind of rehearsed. People say she's good looking. Whatever, I guess so. Not really sure about that. She just comes across as a crazy person, which she is. And so Johnny Depp and her were married. And again, there's some broader cultural stories here, implications and kind of political impacts behind the story, which is why we're talking about it. So Johnny Depp and her were married. Johnny Depp from Pirates of the Caribbean. Also, The Secret Window, which is a great movie, by the way. Johnny Depp's an objectively terrific actor. And again, I had no real interest in the story as this was progressing. It was someone I never heard of suing Captain Jack Sparrow. It was kind of weird. I didn't really understand the whole part of that. And so they go to trial, and then all these people are like, yeah, she pooped in his bed. I'm like, why is this nationwide news? It sounds like two crazy people suing each other. But actually, it's really interesting when you look into it. So you go a level deeper, and yesterday was the verdict. So basically, Johnny Depp was suing to defend himself. And this, you might not think this story applies to you, but it absolutely applies to you. It applies to you in the sense of, if you've ever been wrongly accused of anything, if you have a son or a grandson in your life and the world that you're putting them into, that this sort of a cultural battle is incredibly important because it sends a signal to future people that very well might be falsely accused. So Johnny Depp was accused by Amber Heard for beating her. And she said, he beat me, he broke my nose. And immediately Amber Heard, the crazy person, was believed. And there was a massive kind of cost that came from this, where almost immediately Johnny Depp was canceled by every major institution imaginable, including Disney, by the way. So Disney canceled Johnny Depp from Pirates of the Caribbean. And so Johnny Depp was kind of in career limbo. People were treating Johnny Depp like how Kevin Spacey was treated after all these accusations. And this bothered Johnny Depp. And so he said, I'm going to have to fight back. I'm going to have to legally push back against it. And so some people say, oh, Johnny Depp was too big to cancel. I have nothing to do actually with how big Johnny Depp was. I mean, they canceled Harvey Weinstein because he was a scumbag, and he is a scumbag. They canceled Bill Cosby because not exactly a good guy at all. The they tried to cancel Johnny Depp, but the only reason why Johnny Depp is now victorious is not because of how popular Johnny Depp is or how popular Johnny Depp or how big of a following he has. It's because Johnny Depp fought back. It's because Johnny Depp decided to put a line in the sand and say, you know what? I didn't beat you. You are certifiable. And I'm going to tell the entire world that. So this person, Amber Heard, again, I know very little about her except the fact that anyone who would try to destroy somebody's life based on fake accusations that are so patently fake and false really deserves to be called out for this. And so Amber Heard was found liable for defaming Johnny Depp, and she pushed back against all these accusations in the last couple of days. And so this is really kind of the last gasp of the Me Too movement. The Me Too movement came onto the scene 4 or 5 years ago, which was basically trying to restructure societal norms and to try to destroy the patriarchy, kind of the alleged complaint that somehow women are being so incredibly oppressed by their male bosses and men are nothing but savage animals. And, you know, if believe all women, regardless of the circumstances. Now, of course, the believe all women thing didn't apply to Joe Biden, and all of his accusations against him didn't apply to prominent Democrats. But it did take out a couple, Al Franken and many others. They tried this with Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh fought back and Brett Kavanaugh won. So Johnny Depp decided to sue Amber Heard, and Amber Heard fought back in this trial, of which I wasn't really following the details. But the long and short of it is this, is that not only did Johnny Depp fight back against the accusations, he fought back against all these corporations that were so quick to go take the psycho woman's side without ever actually finding out she was telling the truth. Like, was she actually telling the truth? And in fact, not only was she not telling the truth, she was complete and total fabricating the entire situation. So Me Too started with some legitimate complaints, Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, and it transitioned into the demands of the hordes of social justice warrior angry women that believe they could destroy the lives of men and they do not care about the repercussions and they do not care about the consequences. Now, just understand, the standard to be able to prove defamation in an American court is an unbelievably high standard. In order to prove defamation, you have to be able to prove intent, not the result, in an American court. So to be able to convince a jury that you were defamed against and that someone intentionally had the intent to make things up against you is a very, very high standard. And Johnny Depp came with all the receipts and all the evidence, from voice memo recordings to text messages to third-party witnesses. And now, just some interesting backstory. Amber Heard was also dating Elon Musk for quite some time. I'm just curious to see who is going to date Amber Heard next. Who's going to do that? Michael Avenatti? Oh, Avenatti's in prison. Well, that's where Amber Heard should go. And I don't say that lightly. He's going to prison. Look, if you go out of your way to destroy somebody's life, you know, there should be a penalty to pay. So now Amber Heard is coming out and she says, I can't afford the judgment. Well, that's too bad. You should have thought of that before you said Johnny Depp punched you in the face and broke your nose. You're a pathological liar. And for all of you listening right now that feel as if this is just kind of two feuding celebrities, you know, I believe that for a couple of weeks. It's not that I have any interest in these two people. Obviously, they think really highly of themselves. Anyone in Hollywood celebrity culture, with a few exceptions, are complete and total narcissists. Instead, it's a massive blow to the Me Too movement, the guilty until proven innocent crowd, the kind of pattern of the weight of the accusation is somehow how we must configure your guilt or your innocence. That was blown apart here. And this applies to everybody. If we look at what's happening in our country, they want to be able to destroy people by a simple accusation. Thankfully, in our country, we've had a tradition of due process, of checks and balances, of an independent judiciary, that you need to have a far more robust track record of evidence than just saying Johnny Depp is a bad person, he broke my nose. I hope this is a message for every single person out there that might be thinking to potentially engage in a defamatory pattern of action against an innocent person. Just because you don't like somebody doesn't mean you could lie, smear, and destroy their entire character of life. And thank goodness that the justice system allowed this to play out, where Amber Heard has now been found liable, and she now has to pay a huge verdict. This is a death blow to the Me Too movement, which was an attempt to destroy due process and the presumption of innocence. Hello, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Super important announcement. Look, when you swipe your credit card, you're funding liberal causes. Dozens and dozens of times a month. Every time you swipe that card, you might as well do BLM, LGBT, BLM, LGBT, Clinton Foundation. But now there's a choice. I got to know these guys. I vetted them, checked out the technology. I'm a partner with them. I'm all in. It's called COIN, C-O-I-G-N. It's a new credit card built for conservatives. I'm moving all my credit card activity under COIN. And the COIN credit card is an unlimited cashback Visa credit card that is just like every other credit card you've ever owned, with one huge exception. Every time you use the COIN card, they contribute to conservative charities that support your values. I'm using it, and you should too. Remember, we have to create a parallel economy, and this is a great new option. Act now. Go to COIGN.com right now to sign up to get a conservative COIN credit card. That's COIGN.com. Join COIN, and let's start spending right. I want to dive a little bit more into this idea of the presumption of innocence. So why is it that in the West we have this tradition of the presumption of innocence? Where does that come from? Well, it comes from a man by the name of William Blackstone. Now, William Blackstone kind of is the author of the common law. William Blackstone studied in any respectable law school or in legal circles. He was heavily inspired by, of course, the Bible, and he was influenced by Montesquieu. Montesquieu actually was a contemporary of his. Montesquieu was a French judge that wrote a book called The Spirit of the Laws, and he was also, kind of, some would say, a commonly quoted person in the French Revolution. Montesquieu and Rousseau were in some ways contemporaries. And so what we have here is that William Blackstone believed that it is better for 10 guilty people to walk free than for one innocent person to suffer or to go to jail. And so basically the standard was set that in order to take somebody of their life, liberty, or their property, in order to put somebody in jail or put them into prison, that the standard has to be with beyond a reasonable doubt, and that you start from a baseline of you are assumed to be innocent. Now, that's an interesting thing, because in the West, we also have this belief in original sin that does stem from the Bible. And so there's this tension there. But why is the presumption of innocence so critical? Well, it actually is directly connected to our belief in limited government. It's directly tied into why we believe that we should have checks and balances. And this is why in China, they do not have the presumption of innocence. They have the presumption of guilt. In China, you have to prove your innocence. In America, you have to prove the guilt. Now, why is that? Why would that be different? Well, in a statist model, in a country that has a heavy emphasis on government control and on central planning, it would make a lot of sense where if the government accuses you of something, how could the government ever be wrong? But built into the tradition of Western law is that if you are accused of something, if you are said to be, you know, as Johnny Depp was, he slammed her on the face or whatever terrible thing he was accused of, the entire system, the structure of the United States Constitution ensures, in fact, it demands that the state, in order to deprive you of life, liberty, and property, they have to reach the standard that you start from the baseline of the presumption that you are presumed innocent, and then you have to be able to prove the guilt. And so since we don't generally trust centralized government, and we believe that power can be abused, and we believe in the saying of Lord Acton that absolute power corrupts absolutely, that is all built into the Western legal tradition. And one of the kind of goals, you could say, of the Me Too movement was an attempt to try and disassemble and obliterate the Western legal tradition. Now, they were trying to do this extra legally, meaning they weren't necessarily doing it through the judicial system itself. They were trying to create almost a new court. And what the Me Too movement did is they created a new court, which was the court of the mob, the court of Hollywood, the court of media, which is, okay, Johnny Depp wasn't going to go to prison, but we're going to destroy his life altogether based on a singular accusation. It's the Chinese model of legal theory, not the Western model. What's so interesting is how quick the media and activists were to just basically cast aside the many century tradition that has proven to keep people free and keep government checked and keep power in check by having this process where if you are going to destroy somebody's life, like Johnny Depp, you have to prove it without a reasonable doubt. And none of that was followed when it came to this. It wasn't followed with Brett Kavanaugh. It wasn't followed any of these people that are falsely accused. But this all of a sudden is a repudiation of that trajectory. It is a rejection of what we have been seeing over the last couple of years, where people are deprived of their career, of their connections. They're deprived of their wealth, all because of a singular accusation. But if you believe in limited government and checks and balances, then you necessarily must believe in the presumption of innocence. Innocent until proven guilty. A people cannot remain free if you do not have that tradition. A war is being waged on reality, everybody, and the left is leading the charge. Their radical gender ideology has seeped into children's classrooms, into medical terminology, and into our everyday life. It's producing a generation of psychological infants and confused young people. Not only that, but this radical ideology is trying to erase the people who brought us all into the world, women. Now, Matt Walsh of the Great Daily Wire is taking matters into his own hands. He recently embarked on a journey around the world to ask one simple question: what is a woman? And you'd be surprised not only how few are capable of answering, but also how many have a completely twisted idea of what a woman is. Thankfully, he got his whole experience on film, the documentary They Don't Want You to See, What is a Woman? You could check it out today at dailywire.com/Charlie. Radical gender ideology have a not-so-secret agenda, and this film exposes it all. Check out What is a Woman at dailywire.com/Charlie. That is dailywire.com/Charlie. Okay, let's get to inflation here. Inflation is the number one issue that is facing Americans today. By far, I was getting an IV at my friend's Prana IV Therapy in Phoenix, Arizona, a phenomenal company. And I was just catching up with some of the guys there. And I asked them, I said, what's the biggest issue facing you? And they said, the cost of living is out of control. In fact, it's so bad is that my sense, it's creating a spirit and a sense of cynicism amongst the working class, where people feel as if the harder they're working, the more they're falling behind. Where, and it was said a little bit jokingly and kiddingly, but some of the folks that were working there said, why am I even working at all? Why don't I just go on government assistance? Like, why am I spending all my time just to get poorer every single month? I want to just zero in on that kind of complaint, where if you have working people that believe the more input they put into a society or the more input they put into their life, that they're actually falling behind, not above, then you actually no longer live in a meritocracy. One of the dangers of inflation is that it destroys the promise that if you work hard and play by the rules, you're going to have some sort of reward and benefit on the other side. And so there's a moral case for a meritocracy because it de-radicalizes people. People are less likely to commit crimes. They're less likely to loot and steal and murder. They're less likely to cheat if they believe that if they apply themselves in a lawful way and tomorrow they're going to get something in return. What inflation does is inflation robs you of delayed gratification. Inflation actually incentivizes instant gratification. I'll prove it to you. You see, the West was built on delayed gratification. Now, this is not a concept that most countries understand, by the way. It's not a concept that most people understand. If you want to know the great divide between people that are kind of perpetually poor generation after generation and people that are wealthier or rich, and I understand you could win the genetic lottery. I understand that you might have a trust fund. I get all of that. But as a general rule, people that are wealthier and richer believe in the principle of delayed gratification, and people that stay poor generation after generation do not believe in delayed gratification. What is delayed gratification? It's that I'm going to do something today that doesn't necessarily feel good in the immediate because what's going to come in the future is going to be worth it for myself or my children or my family, future generations. That I'm going to wake up earlier. I'm going to apply myself more. I'm not going to drink till 2 a.m. I'm not going to play video games till 4 a.m. I'm going to delay the gratification in the immediate because what comes in the future is well worth it. The West was built on this. Most other countries don't understand this concept. In fact, countries that stay perpetually poor especially if you look at subsistence farming. And it's not for any sort of negative accusation towards it, but it's you eat what you have, you do it immediately, you kind of stay where you are. The idea that you're going to plan for the future, which is beyond you, is something that inflation by a necessity obliterates. Why? Well, if you think your dollar is going to be diminishing in value in 60 days, then you just might as well spend the dollar right now. Inflation destroys the incentive to save. Inflation says you might as well spend all your money now because who knows what that dollar is going to be worth in December. It subsidizes very bad economic decisions. And with it, it also creates political cynicism and creates almost kind of a rupture in the kind of political ecosystem. So it's bad on every front. Cut 21, CNN on the new low for consumer confidence and the continuation of massive inflation. Play Cut 21.
The high cost of living continues to cast a shadow over this economy. New numbers out today show that consumer confidence fell in May. Didn't fall as much as feared, but it's still well below pre-COVID levels. And one in four consumers, they expect economic conditions to get worse. I think this is really about three things: gas, food, and housing. For many families, these are the three most expensive items of their monthly budget, and all three continue to get more expensive.
Now, even CNN is admitting the low consumer confidence and massive inflation. This is going to create externalities the likes of which we have not lived through in quite some time. Now, mind you, to be able to live through inflation when you have mass technology is quite an amazing accomplishment. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when you have technology, it is a hedge against inflation. So the fact that we're experiencing inflation while we have widespread technology is an extraordinary thing. So you think about it. Why would technology help against inflation? Well, you could find lower prices immediately. Price line, negotiate. Like, that's the whole point, right? Is that you could compete for better prices. So the reason why 1970s inflation and 80s inflation was kind of almost intractable is you didn't have the internet to be like, actually, that's cheaper than that. Like, that flight is cheaper than that one. The ability to compete or to be able to communicate in the price system becomes easier when you have widespread technology. At least that's been always the promise of the technocrats, right? The promise of the technology people is that, okay, you have Amazon, you have online shopping, you have communication, you have eBay. So people are going to be able to communicate quicker, and communication brings competition, which brings down the price of goods. The fact that we have inflation while we have widespread communication and technology is a really bad sign. It's bad economically. That means that people are able to have the most amount of information and communication at their disposal to be able to find every single lower price imaginable, and they still have prices going up. So what is the cause and the driver of inflation? Very simple. And this is one of my complaints against the Republican Party, is that I believe Biden is largely to blame for inflation, but so are Republicans. Like, I'm one of the few shows that is not going to be like, it's called Bidenflation. Like, actually, it was every single Republican that voted for that stupid stimulus bill that never should have been passed in the first place when we locked down our country. I think there was like one Republican that abstained, maybe Rand Paul. Every one of those stimulus bills was unnecessary, every single one. The stimulus should have been reopening America immediately in April and allowing treatments to be widespread. Instead, we created mass amount of dollars out of thin air, injected into our economy, and we are now living through hyperinflation. And so, yes, Biden is to blame. He's only made it worse. How has Biden made it worse? Largely because of his anti-energy policies, canceling Keystone XL pipeline, not allowing for the proliferation or the exploration of energy. Of course, Biden is to blame for part of it. When will Republicans step up and start to own their part in creating inflation? The $1.9 trillion Rescue America. The amount, I think Republicans voted for at least $4 to $5 trillion in stimulus packages, right? The first one was like 1.8, and then there was a trillion and all this. Yeah, Biden is to blame, but big government Republicans were part of all this as well. Big government Republicans have said, like, well, you know, the economy's locked down and people need help. The best way to help people would have been to get government out of the way and not lock people down, not put masks on children, not mandate vaccines, and get us back to the normal booming market economy where actually blue-collar workers were booming prior to these lockdowns. And so it's been big government politicians in both political parties. I put the most amount of blame, obviously, on Joe Biden. He's just made it totally worse. And by the way, Joe Biden also made it worse by fear-mongering and keeping kind of quasi-lockdown policies in place as well. And so we had the CARES Act, $2.2 trillion that was passed by Republicans, remember this, in March 27, 2020. And then we had the Paycheck Protection Health Care Enhancement Act in April, another $483 billion. And then we had the Consolidated Appropriations Act, another $1 trillion. So just off the top, that's $2.7 trillion, $3.7 trillion. Then the American Rescue Plan that was basically passed on partisan lines, which was Joe Biden that put that forward. Altogether, that's 1.9 plus that's 2.9, then that's 2.3, and then that's 5.5. That's $5.7 trillion that were passed in Washington, D.C. in the last couple of years. 3.8 of it was approved by Republicans. And that's on top of the federal budget that was already happening. That's on top of the federal appropriations that were already happening. So why am I going hard after Republicans right now as we're heading towards a midterm election? It's because you got to be honest of who actually bears responsibility for this. Biden is the president. Biden's been pushing these big government policies. Biden's war on energy and gas. Biden's supply chain crisis. I think all of that is fair, appropriate. He should own that. But Republicans cannot get a free pass because they were the ones that were pushing forward these big inflation policies while we were one of the only programs warning people this is going to be a disaster. We're the only one. Even all these other ardent libertarians were like, oh, well, maybe there's no place for that. The graft, the waste was a disaster. The country's in a worse place because of it. We were laughed at, scoffed at. We were mocked by saying inflation was coming. You know, well, now people can't afford basic groceries and goods. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. I want to tell you about Good Ranchers. Look, Father's Day is coming up, and I know a lot of dads out there would love nothing more than a box of meat. Summer grilling season, barbecues, grill outs, big summer holidays are on the horizon. And I know a lot of people are saying, what do I get dad for Father's Day? The best thing to get him on Father's Day is something from GoodRanchers.com. Food shortages are on the rise, and I want to tell you about this limited time deal. Don't miss out on your free 18-ounce ribeye because they won't be here for long. These steaks are truly amazing, and you'll love them. Good Ranchers is giving away 2 free-ounce, 18-ounce prime center-cut ribeyes. They are USDA prime, 100% American steakhouse-quality cuts of beef. Other places will charge you over $50 a steak for ribeyes like these, but today you can get two of them for free at goodranchers.com with promo code Kirk. That's goodranchers.com, promo code Kirk. Good Ranchers quality is amazing, everybody. Ribeyes, T-bones, chicken, salmon, and more. It is a great thing to give your father for Father's Day. With uncertainty in supply chains and what the grocery stores will have available, Good Ranchers is a reliable place to get your essentials. They send you a box of meat. So they basically send you a box of happiness. Enough of this vegan fake meat stuff. It's all a scam. It's a con. It's creating all sorts of weird things in our society. Get back to red meat. Get back to real things that matter. Having Good Ranchers in your home supports the Charlie Kirk Show, supports American ranchers, and feeds your family. So go to goodranchers.com and use promo code Kirk, and it will give you 2 free-ounce, 18-ounce prime setter cup ribeyes. goodranchers.com/Kirk. And again, American meat delivered. Say that again. Write it down and remember it. American meat delivered. Again, the 2 ribeye steaks, over $100 value. I want to tell you, I love meat. You should too. Even if you don't like meat, tell the person who does to check out goodranchers.com. A box of beautiful meat and 2 free ribeyes can be yours right now. Check it out. goodranchers.com, promo code Kirk. So Janet Yellen, who is a fool, so she said earlier this year that there's a small risk of inflation and that it's manageable. I mean, who? These people have no business running our country. Now, I think it's intentional. I'll be very honest. I think inflation is a strategy to break the dollar to help usher in the Great Reset. I refuse to believe. You see, the expression is usually, and this is where kind of the normie, moderate, really boring Republicans that are in the media, they say, you know, I refuse to categorize what could be called malevolence when really it's incompetence. How many times have you heard that line? They said, look, I don't want to try to chalk up bad intentions when just simple incompetency very well might explain it. I see it the exact opposite. I think they are totally wrong. Instead, I refuse to believe that these people are as incompetent as they want us to believe. I think they're malevolent. I think this is an intentional transformation destruction that we're living through. This is an intentional unwinding. You can't be wrong about masks, around vaccines, the border, foreign wars, international trade, inflation, economic policy. What if they're actually not wrong about all of it? What if they're doing exactly what they want to do? You see, we have to, I think, liberate ourselves from the false paradigm that somehow we're living under kind of the tyranny of incompetent people. Trust me, there's plenty of stupid people. That Jean-Pierre girl that is the press secretary, she's way less intelligent than Jen Psaki. She's not a smart person. She isn't. I mean, she can't even spin like very simple things. And it's, I mean, she might be a nice person. I don't know. But I refuse to believe Janet Yellen's dumb. I don't know. I go back and forth on it. I think I called her dumb like 3 minutes ago. All right, play cut 59.
Is there a risk of inflation? I think there's a small risk, and I think it's manageable. I don't anticipate that inflation is going to be a problem, but it is something that we're watching very carefully.
So now she says, oh, just by the way, I was wrong about the path of inflation. What do they do all day long? Like, what is Janet Yellen's job? Like, your one job is to make sure that the economy doesn't overheat with too many dollar bills. And you thought by creating 60 to 70 to 80% of all dollar bills ever created in a span of 2 years, we weren't going to live through hyperinflation? Play cut 24.
I think I was wrong then about the path that inflation would take. As I mentioned, there have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that have boosted energy and food prices and supply bottlenecks that have affected our economy badly that I didn't, at the time, didn't fully understand.
Yeah, at the time, I didn't fully understand. I don't buy it. I think you are simply a puppet for Klaus Schwab and for Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum. I don't believe it. I don't want us to all of a sudden have this impression that we're living under a mistake. I don't think we're living in a mistake. I think we're living in their created simulation. World Economic Forum speaker, cut 57 from Davos, he said, the hurricane of inflation is coming. It's just a matter of how big. You created that hurricane. Oh, is this Jamie Dimon? Yeah, he'll be just fine. Play cut 57.
You know, everyone thinks the Fed can handle this. That hurricane is right out there down the road coming our way. We just don't know if it's a minor one or Superstorm Sandy.
This is not hard. These people are paid to do this, and they completely messed this up. Now, I don't think they messed it up unintentionally. I think there's a group of people that want the deterioration of the dollar. I think they want the breaking of the currency as we see fit. And it's just very troubling. It really is. So what are we supposed to do about it? Well, there's not much you can do about it except own hard assets and hope we can survive through it. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.